Well, please turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Do feel free to watch along on the screen. Matthew chapter 11. And we're reading verses 1 to 6. God's Word. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." The Word of God. We're coming to think this evening about something that's relevant for pretty much everyone here. It's something we all wrestle with, we all struggle with from time to time. Doubts, questions, uncertainties, particularly in regards to the Christian faith. Having doubts as a Christian often begin small. They might begin with questions like, "Does God really hear me when I pray?" And one question might lead to another. "Is there any point praying? Does he care for me at all?" Until, "Is God even there?" If you've never struggled with those questions, chances are you probably will at some point, or you will be brought into contact with someone who is struggling with those precise things. What if Christianity isn't the truth? What if this is all a hoax? What if Jesus is not who he says he is? And the thing is, left to themselves, doubts are like weeds. They don't just disappear. If anything, they grow when they're left alone. And if we don't confront them, they will soon confront us. If you've been there, you will know that having doubts about your faith, having doubts about Jesus, having doubts about your salvation, they can be troubling, they can be distressing, they can be deeply unsettling to you. So this subject is a vital one this evening. It's a vital one, and it's one I don't think I've ever preached on before, and for that I put my hands up and apologize, because this is such a pressing and pastoral issue, this issue of having doubts in Jesus. We're in Matthew 11, 1-6. Jesus has just finished teaching a section on mission, if you remember. He's called and sent out the 12 disciples. He sent them out as sheep in the midst of wolves, you remember. Verse 1 describes how he himself is engaged in this work of teaching and preaching. It was a consistent characteristic of his ministry. And from now on in Matthew, really, well, chapters 11 and 12, we're going to focus on the different responses that people give to the gospel, the different reactions of people to Jesus. And we begin this evening with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the giant of the faith, the herald of the king, the great forerunner of Jesus. And maybe we're a bit surprised to find out that John the Baptist was beginning to have doubts. He was beginning to have doubts. And John is something of a case study for us in terms of a believer having doubts about Jesus. We're going to look at two things this evening. Firstly, how John struggled with doubt, and then how he handled his doubt. So we're going to look at the struggle and then how he handled it. Firstly, consider how John struggled with doubt. Let's consider how John struggled with doubt. And this is verses 2 and 3, really. It's not the first time we've met John in the New Testament. It's not the first time we've met him in the book of Matthew. In chapter 3, we find this strange man dressed like an Old Testament prophet, if you remember, preaching in the wilderness. And he's brave, he's outspoken, he's eccentric, John the Baptist. And people just flock to his ministry. And his ministry was essentially a pointing ministry. He was very clear about that. He wasn't the Messiah. He was pointing towards the Messiah. And he was preparing the way for the Savior. He was rolling down the red carpet for the Messiah. And when Christ came to him for baptism, we're told John cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John was so humbled by Jesus coming, he didn't even want to unloose his sandals. But in chapter 4 of Matthew, we find John is in prison. He's been thrown into prison. We're not told why until we get to chapter 14, which we haven't got to yet. But chapter 14 looks back at John the Baptist and tells us that John is imprisoned because he stands up to Herod. He rebukes Herod. He ends up in jail for it. And all of that is to say, the impression we have in the Bible of John the Baptist is one of a brave, courageous, larger-than-life kind of fella. Just bursting with evangelistic zeal and energy, scooping out honey and just loving life. And then we come to these verses in Matthew 11, 2 and 3. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? So he's been getting these updates, you see, in prison about Christ and his ministry. John had his own disciples, his own followers, you see, and they would have no doubt supplied him with food, but also with mission reports as to how Jesus was getting on. And it seems John just isn't bowled over by it all. He's not terribly amazed by what he hears. So he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Look, are you the coming one? Are you the real deal? Or should we be looking for someone else?" He's evidently struggling with doubts. And to help us maybe think about his struggle, we could think of a few factors at play here. For one, think of his difficult circumstances. Think of his difficult circumstances. He's in prison. He's in prison. It goes without saying, none of us would wish to be in those circumstances. He's facing a desperate situation. His future has become very uncertain. Death looking increasingly likely. Apparently, he's been in prison for over a year by this point. We knew from John the Baptist that he would love to be out preaching and witnessing to the Savior. But there's no sign of things changing for the better. Certainly no sign of Jesus breaking him out. Here's this man, and he's faithfully ministered and served. He's bravely stood up to the authorities, and he finds himself in an utterly dreadful situation. No prospect of deliverance, no hope of escape. And surely that's feeding into his doubts. His difficult circumstances. He looks at the mess he's in, and he's just filled with these doubts, these feelings of despair. So think of his difficult circumstances. But think also of his unmet expectations. Think of his unmet expectations. And I think this fed into his doubts more than his imprisonment. John was the forerunner of the king. He was the herald of the Messiah, the great announcer that Jesus had come. And yes, in prison, he was getting updates on the ministry of Jesus. But as good as the updates were, they weren't as good as what John would have been expecting. John, you see, was hoping for a great political Messiah. He was hoping and expecting that someone would come to lead the Jews in victory, to someone who would kick the Romans out of the land and establish God's kingdom here on earth. John's ministry spoke of wrath. He spoke of a lot about wrath and judgment. He spoke of the axe that would be laid to the root of the tree. He prophesied those things, judgment and wrath. And so far, he isn't seeing any of that. He isn't hearing about any of that in the reports from his men. And to be quite honest, John is a bit disappointed by all of this. He's a bit deflated. Hence his doubts, his questions. Jesus, are you really? Are you really the Messiah that we've been waiting on for so long? Is there going to be someone else? You know, is this it? So think of his unmet expectations. His difficult circumstances, his unmet expectations. Think of his familiar condition. Think of his familiar condition. I wonder if you can relate to John in any way this evening. I wonder if it's familiar to you personally, or maybe loved ones that you know yourself. As you think of John's difficult circumstances, maybe you find yourself in difficult circumstances. Maybe you feel imprisoned in some way. Not literally, of course, but maybe you know the chains, the bondage of some kind of pressure in your life, some kind of distress, some kind of uncertainty. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of a difficult providence, and you feel cut off, distant from the Lord. Maybe the Christian life just isn't living up to what you expected, what you thought it would be. Maybe the trouble and trial you thought would be lifted away from you, it's still there, still lingering on. Maybe you're finding, as someone has helpfully put it, maybe you're finding that external uncertainty is shaking your internal certainty. I'll say that again. Maybe you're finding that external uncertainty is shaking your internal certainty. So all the uncertain stuff outside, it's shaking up what was certain inside. Maybe you're having doubts. Maybe you're doubting God's care for you, his love for you, his interest in you. And as you look at John the Baptist, as you hear about him this evening, maybe you're thinking, I can actually relate to some of that. And maybe you're thinking, is this it? Is this it? A few of us here on a Sunday evening, is this it? Is this what it's all about? If that's the case, let me say, having doubts about Jesus, it's not unusual. It's not abnormal. In fact, if you're a doubting believer, you're in good company. You're in good company. Just in case you think John the Baptist was someone with weak faith, someone that didn't really count very much, just a few verses on from the passage, we'll come to it. Verse 11, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." No one greater than John the Baptist. And it's not just John who had doubts in the scriptures. In the New Testament alone, over and over in the Gospels, we find Jesus saying to his disciples, "O you of little faith. Some occasions, how long will you doubt? How long will you doubt? These were men who had committed themselves to him, who had believed in him, but their belief from time to time wavered. And amazingly, at the end of Matthew, after the resurrection, we're told Jesus appeared before them. And Matthew 28:17 tells us, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Some of them doubted. And friends, the history of the church is littered with believers who have had doubts. John Calvin, John Bunyan, Martin Luther, Thomas Boston, Martin Lloyd-Jones, C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, they all had doubts. So don't despair if you have doubts about Jesus. Even the most mature, seasoned believer can experience doubts, and they can come when you least expect it. So this is a familiar condition. This is a common struggle. And that's the first thing we want to consider, John's struggle with doubt. But then let's think secondly, consider how John handled his doubt. Verses 4 to 6, consider how John handled his doubt. And to be honest, this is what we're waiting for, isn't it? This is the burning issue. How do you handle this? How do you cope with these things? What do you do when you have doubts about Jesus? How do you advise somebody? How do you help somebody who's struggling with all of these things? Doubts about faith, doubts about God. Well, let's look at the case study once again. And I want to mention six things we can find here by way of handling doubts. We begin with the most important. Firstly, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. This is the first thing you should do if you're having doubts about Jesus. Go directly to him about it. And we see John doing precisely that. Yes, he's confined to prison, but he doesn't stew over things himself. He doesn't retreat into his own company. He doesn't withdraw. He doesn't debate even with others. Verse 2, he sent word by his disciples to Jesus. Friend, if you're struggling with doubts, with questions, with uncertainties, go straight to Jesus. Straight to Jesus. Don't muddle through things yourself first. Don't try to disentangle your mess. Go to him with your mess. Go to him with all the doubts. And even if the devil comes to you, and he will, when he comes to you and tempts you to not bother, well, don't bother going to Jesus about that. Why would you bother doing that? Don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie. Don't cover it up. Don't hide it in the shadows. Go to Jesus. Bring your struggles to him. As we heard in our call to worship, Psalm 36, verse 9, in your light do we see light. In your light do we see light. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to the light. That's the first thing. Go to Jesus. The second thing, acknowledge your doubts. Acknowledge your doubts. Again, this is what John did. He sent a message by his disciples, a message that was very clear, very specific. Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else, Jesus? And just think how humbling this must have been for John. It's a contradiction of his whole ministry, of everything he's been teaching for years. Here he is, this spiritual giant, and he's confessing his weakness, his frailty. He's honestly acknowledging his doubts before Jesus. And friend, if you have doubts, when you have doubts, doubts about God, about faith, about church, about Christ. Don't just pretend that everything's fine. Don't just pretend everything's fine. I heard someone put it, we've been wearing masks long before COVID-19. Don't just pretend everything's fine. Go to Jesus. Acknowledge your doubts before him. Spread them all out before him. There's a lovely illustration of that in the scriptures. In Isaiah 37, we read of trouble coming before King Hezekiah. Trouble in the form of a letter. Maybe you've had a troubling letter come your way from time to time. Hezekiah had a troubling letter that came before him. We're told, Isaiah 37, verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter. He read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. He spread it. He opened it up before the Lord. And in many ways, we should be doing that with all our troubles and all our concerns, but specifically our doubts. Don't be too proud to spread them all out before Jesus. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge them before the Lord. So go to Jesus. Acknowledge your doubts. A third thing, ask others for help. Ask others for help. And again, we see John doing this precise thing. He might have been in prison, but he had very close friends. And he's evidently spoken to them about his troubles. He's told them about his struggles. They, in turn, take John's trouble to Jesus. So you get that John speaking to his friends, and they go to Jesus for him. And there's a wonderful spiritual lesson in that for us. John had friends who could intercede on his behalf. Friends who would pray for him. Friends who could take his burdens to Christ when he just couldn't take them to Christ. And he asked them for help. Tell me, who do you have? Who do you have who could carry your struggles to Jesus? The same way John's friends did. Who do you have who could intercede on your behalf? You should know there's a queue of people who would line up and volunteer here in this building for you. Myself included. Don't be slow to ask. Don't be slow to ask. Even John the Baptist needed to ask for help. It's worth considering the flip side of the thing then too, isn't it? To whom could you be a friend right now? You might not be plagued with doubts and questions and uncertainties, but you could certainly intercede for someone who is. Galatians 6, verse 2. You know it's one of Sam's favorite verses. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, how do you handle doubts? Go to Jesus. Acknowledge your doubts. Ask others for help. A fourth thing, open your Bible. Open your Bible. We're coming now to the counsel that Jesus gives in response to the request, the question. Jesus is so gracious, isn't he, here? He doesn't scold John at all for this. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't reply, John, you should not doubt. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, John, we don't ask those questions here. Just keep those to yourself. He doesn't say anything like that. John asks for reassurance. Jesus is happy to oblige. Verses 4 and 5. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Now, it doesn't come across in most of our Bibles, but what Jesus does here is He quotes from the Old Testament scriptures. He's quoting directly from Isaiah here in a couple of places, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 61. And essentially, Jesus is making the point here that the miracles Isaiah prophesied, they're all coming to pass. Blind receiving sight, lame walking, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, the dead being raised up, the poor getting good news preached. And what Jesus is doing, in other words, is he's directing John to Scripture. He's directing John to the Bible, to the bedrock of his faith. John, come back to what's clear. Come back to what's certain. Set your feet on solid ground here, John. Let the certainties of Scripture put to rest the uncertainties of your soul. Let me say that again. Let the certainties of Scripture put to rest the uncertainties of your soul. And that's exactly what we need to do when doubts begin to rise. We need to open our Bibles. We need to let the certainties of Scripture put to rest the uncertainties of our soul. We need to go to the promises of Scripture. You might remember over lockdown, I read through Pilgrim's Progress with the children, and a tremendous illustration of the Christian life, the Pilgrim's Progress. There's a point in the story when Christian and his friend Hopeful get trapped in Doubting Castle. Doubting Castle. They stray from the path. They get caught. They get trapped in this castle. And giant despair throws them in a cage inside the dungeon. So here they are, trapped in a cage in the dungeon of Doubting Castle. Just like John the Baptist. Just like many a believer ever since. And it isn't until Christian remembers that he has the key of promise around his neck that he is able to escape. This key, the key of promise, unlocks every gate in Doubting Castle. And friends, the point is the scriptures are full of exceedingly great and precious promises. We have them. They are ours in Jesus Christ, promises that are there to be pleaded in your time of need if we would only open our Bibles. So are you having doubts about Jesus? He would say, open your Bibles. Go to the Word. Remind yourselves of the promises. But then also, open your eyes. Number 5, open your eyes. Those verses again. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers cleansed, and so on and so on and so on. In other words, John, look at what's happening here, John. There's people here who can see John, and before they were blind. There's people here, they have perfect hearing, and before they were deaf. There's former lepers in this crowd, John. There's people who can walk, and before they couldn't even move their legs. There's people now getting to hear the gospel. And these are all things that I've done, John. And Jesus wants all these things reported. Look at the evidence, John. You think nothing's happening? There's more going on here than you realize. Isaiah 35, 61, those scriptures, they're being fulfilled right here, right now. Can't you see the power, the authority that's here? And do you see what he's saying? That we consider not only the Word of God, but the works of God. Or to open our eyes to see what he's actually doing. Or to think of his works of creation, his works of redemption, his works of providence. In other words, just pause and look at God's hand at work in your life. Look at what God's doing and expose your doubts to the work of Jesus Christ. What a helpful word that is for so many of us, maybe having doubts. Open your eyes, Jesus says. Open your eyes. Look to Christ. Look to Jesus and all that he's done for you, all that he's doing for you. Robert Murray McShane put it, "For every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ." So don't get so insular and inward looking that you don't look at anything else. For every look at self, take 10 looks to Christ. So open your eyes. Handling doubts, you go to Jesus, you acknowledge your doubts, you ask others for help, you open your Bible, you open your eyes. And then the last thing, stand firm. Stand firm. This is really in verse 6. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Literally, blessed is the one who does not stumble over me. Blessed is the one who is not tripped up by me. Jesus is encouraging John, don't give up, John. Don't give up. Don't stumble over the hard things that you've a difficult grasp over. If you want to be blessed, John, don't get lured into a trap of doubt. There's no blessing there. There are lots of people who stumble over Jesus today. They stumble over his claims and his person. They just can't accept that he's the sinless Son of God. They just can't accept that. They can't accept that he did what he said he did. They can't accept that he's the only way to heaven. And they stumble over those things. They're offensive to them. The cross to them is something of scorn, something of ridicule. It's not the place of salvation. They find it all a great offense. And Jesus says, there's no blessing there. There's no blessing there. Such an individual will not know the blessing of God. Maybe you're there. Maybe you know someone who's there and they're rejecting Christianity on account of doubts and questions. Is the path of blessing closed then? Is blessing closed forever to the doubting individual? Not at all. Not at all. Look at John. John had doubts. Major, major doubts. And look at how he handled them. He went to Jesus. He acknowledged them all. He asked others for help. He did. He opened his scriptures and he opened his eyes. And John stood firm. John stood firm. Blessed is the one, Jesus says, who doesn't stumble over all of this. And even if your faith is weak, Jesus says you're blessed. You're in a happy condition. Even if you don't feel remotely blessed this evening, even if you don't feel remotely in a happy condition, Jesus says you're blessed. He's the one that can turn a time of doubting into a time of blessing. He's the one who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Are you having doubts about Jesus? Go to him. Go to him. Tell him all about it. Let's pray. Let's go to him in prayer just now. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this case before us this evening in John the Baptist. And we pray for any here this evening, physically, those watching along from home. We pray for those in our hearts, O Lord, that we know and love who are wrestling with these precise things. O Lord, we pray for them. We pray for us. We ask that you would settle those doubts, that the uncertainties around us wouldn't just keep on shaking the certainties within us. Lord, we pray that you would remind us of the things that are clear, that you would bring us to the light, that we might see light. We thank you for Jesus and his tender, gentle response to John here. And we pray that we would know this gentle, tender response ourselves. That we would be people who respond in this manner to others who are doubting. And so, Lord, we thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the strength here. We thank you for the counsel. And we pray that whether we need this right now, or whether this is for us around the corner, or whether it's to equip us to help and counsel an individual, Lord, we pray that you would cause these things to settle in our hearts and lives, that we would not be those who trip and stumble, but that we might stand firm, that we might be blessed of Jesus. We ask it in his name and for his glory. Amen.